Hello, welcome to Gridiron Gurus. I'm Travis Lazarczyk alongside Evan Crawley for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel. It is regional semifinal week here in Maine High School football. And Evan, let's start out with the Pine Tree Conference Class B, one of the more intriguing rematches from the regular season. We have Mount Blue going to Brunswick. You saw Mount Blue last week in one of the best comebacks of the season with their win over Coney.
That was probably the best game of the entire weekend. You know, Mount Blue comes back. They were trailing 14-0 before they even touched the football after a quick touchdown and an onside. Well, it wasn't really an onside recovery, but more of a pooch recovery from Anthony Brunell, and they went right down. And at the half, you know, I remember talking with Coach Tom Hines with Munzing Media, and it just didn't seem possible that Mount Blue could pull a comeback. They were down 20 points at the half. Coney had thoroughly dominated and were pretty much a step ahead on every play. But one thing about a comeback is you're always looking for that spark. And right. A little surprise was Nate Pratt-Holt. Obviously, you know, Alex Gilbert getting hurt really kind of changed the complexion of the game. But the real tipping point was Pratt-Holt's blocked field goal. They were lining up. Coney was lining up for about a 24-25 yarder with a more than capable kicker in Cam Dunlop. He's been very solid for the Rams this year. Mm-hmm. And Pratt-Holt comes off the right edge, uses that speed, and just gets a hand on the ball. And they pick it up, return it, hit two straight quick trick plays, and next thing you know, the comeback was on.
Yeah, Coach Jim Elward told me that hook and ladder, hitch and pitch, whatever you want to call it, is actually something they've tried four times this season. It's rare that a team will try it more than once or twice in a season because it has to be so precise. But they've tried it a few times. I saw them attempt it against Skowhegan the week before, but Nate Pratt-Holt, the receiver on the play, wisely held it because as soon as he caught it, he was blanketed by coverage. Yep. And if he had tried to pitch it to Whitney at that point, it probably would have gone for a fumble and a busted play.
Well, I'm sure you see this, Travis, a lot, where teams will build off of one big play, and they try to hit big play after big play. They get the block punt, the big return, and they immediately go to the hook and ladder. And then the next play, they get Pratt-Holt coming out of the backfield with the handoff. Not a look they conventionally do. They'll do that maybe once or twice a game.
Yeah, he'll get some jet sweep kind of carries.
Yep, but they dial it up there, and it works. And next thing you know, he's breaking tackles, rumbling into the end zone.
Sure.
And from there, you know, you thought Coney might have had a chance to hold on, especially if that fumble on third and goal inside of a minute. But, you know, credit to the Cougars. They came through and dealt Coney a heartbreaking loss, really, for the second straight year.
Yeah, lost in the last few minutes 2 years in a row. That's got to be tough for the Rams. Let's talk about their opponent this week. Mount Blue's opponent is Brunswick, a team that beat them a couple weeks ago, 27-16. It was a 20-16 game going late into the fourth quarter, and then Brunswick quarterback Thomas Hansen bootlegged in a late touchdown to kind of seal the win for them. The Cougars this week, and they know it, because I mean everybody who plays Brunswick in the league knows it. You got to try to do something about Will Bessie. You're not going to stop him, but you got to contain him, and they didn't do a good job of that last time, giving up 213 yards to Bessie. He only scored one touchdown, but he just kept drives moving on big third down runs. You know, you think you got him at third and four, and then he'll break off a 6-yard run and keep the chains moving. They also had a couple turnovers in that game, a couple big interceptions for Brunswick, and a couple untimely penalties that Coach Alward said they just have to clean up those kind of things to have a chance against the Dragons.
Well, one thing I wonder, Travis, is they faced a very physical runner in Reed Shostak this past week from Coney, and they put a lot of pressure on that defense, at times beating up the line. You wonder just how fresh Mount Blue is going to be, a really emotional win, a comeback win, facing a Brunswick team that, you know, had the bye week. Bessie was banged up earlier in the year. You got to think he'll be healthy going into this game, and another very physical runner.
Yeah, and they might see Bessie on defense, which they didn't last time because he had been banged up the week before in Brunswick's loss to Brewer. So if he's playing on both sides of the ball, that's just another thing for the Cougars to have to consider.
Another game I believe you saw this year, Travis, was Brewer at Skowhegan, rematch from a very close game during the regular season.
Yeah, I didn't see the original game, but I did see Brewer last week when they pretty much manhandled an undersized Lawrence team in the first round. Had their way with them in terms of the ground game. Dylan Severance, Ray Wood, both really strong backs. And quarterback Brewer, Logan Rogerson, can run or throw. So it's a tough offense. I think Skowhegan really was the only team to slow them down even a little bit, giving up just the 14 points. And the first touchdown for Brewer came immediately after Garrett McSweeney's only interception of the regular season. Brewer got it at midfield and, you know, marched right down and scored, and scored again in, I think, the third quarter. But then Skowhegan came up with a couple big fourth down stops in the fourth quarter and pulled out the win. The big thing for Skowhegan is continue to have success throwing the ball. In the original game in the regular season match against Brewer, McSweeney threw three touchdown passes, two to tight end Sam Baker. So you know that he'll probably be someone that Brewer will have their eye on. But with other receivers like John Bell and Spencer Sally, Skowhegan's got plenty of weapons.
And you've been on top of Skowhegan all year, Travis. You know, what have you seen from Sally? What are you hearing from Skowhegan? It seems like he's really progressed and stepped up as the season's gone along.
Yeah, he seems to just, you know, not the biggest kid. I think he's maybe about 5'8", but he just finds a way of getting open. They don't really run deep routes with him. He's not the guy who's going to run a fly pattern. Occasionally he will, but, you know, he's really good at, you know, quick hitches, quick slants, just finding a seam in a zone or beating his man and catching the ball and getting a few extra yards with it.
Now, is there any way you see one of these teams having an advantage in this game? Because it's, you know, just to me on paper, it looks like these teams are very, very even.
Yeah, if there's any advantage, it's Brewer's run game, I suppose, just because Skowhegan has struggled at times against the run. They've been gashed a couple times for big plays. That first series that Brewer had in that game, for example. First play of the game against Messalowski. Messalowski's running back, Jack Bernacchi's, busts up the middle for about an 80-yard touchdown. Yeah. They tend to get better in the second half against the running game, so they just can't give up the big plays early and find themselves in the hole.
Yeah. Skipping down to Class C North, Travis, what are you hearing out of Winslow as they prepare to host MDI?
Winslow is just kind of doing their thing. They're used to being here. They don't like the bye much that they had last week. Coach Savisky, Mike Kavisky, said that it's good for, you know, guys with some minor bumps and bruises like everybody has this time of year, but he'd rather play a game.
Yep.
He'd rather have a you know, 2-7 matchup or something like that. They realize that they're going to be in for a game with Mount Desert Island. The Trojans were the only team really to give them a close game in the regular season. Winslow and MDI were tied in Bar Harbor at halftime 14-14 in the regular season game, I think in week three, before Winslow kind of composed themselves and pulled away for the 35-20 win. In MDI, you're looking at a team that kind of plays old-fashioned football and that they'll line up in the T formation quite often. And with running backs Tanner Bickford and Croy Albee, they will just pound it at you and play keep away. You know, it's not unusual for MDI to have a 6- or 7-minute drive, and Winslow's high-powered offense, which set a school record for points this year with 406, doesn't get on the field enough. They'll grind out, you know, they'll be happy to grind out like a 20-14 kind of win in that regard.
Now, the winner of that game will face the winner of Foxcroft at Old Town. I don't know about you, Travis. I don't necessarily have a dog in any fight, but I think the matchup everybody wants to see is Winslow and Old Town.
Yeah, they want to see that game in the regional final because they didn't play each other in the regular season, which is why we got that crazy coin flip that won by Old Town, and they get the number one seed and get to host the final if it comes to that.
Now over in Class D South, the Campbell Conference, the big game that I'll be at Saturday is Winthrop Monmouth at Oak Hill. During the regular season, it was a 9-point win for the Raiders in Wales. It was a close game throughout. You know, Winthrop Monmouth had a chance to make it a one-possession game late in the game, but couldn't convert a 2-point conversion. Stayed at a 2-possession game, and Oak Hill was able to run it out from there. Nobody's really been able to, you know. Oak Hill played a tight game against Lisbon earlier on this year.
Right.
Dirigo, mind you. It was 20-14. Late fumble by Riley Robinson sealed it for Oak Hill. But they've won every game this year by at least 6 points, most of them by double digits. And you look at the statistics, and they are just kind of blowing out their opponents. They've gained more than almost 2,000 yards more than their opponents this season. The big thing that jumps out to me is defensively, they've only given up 12 first downs this year. Opponents have only converted 3 of 19 third downs and 1 of 5 fourth downs.
That's impressive.
So teams are not, you know, for as much credit as the offense gets, the defense has just been good with Connor Elwell leading the way. He's got 55 tackles on the year, 3 sacks, 9 tackles for a loss, 3 forced fumbles. You'd like to think that Winthrop Monmouth will have a shot, but, you know, offensively they're going to have to play a clean game, and they're going to have to stop Dalton Tarrion. He's been one of the best players in the conference this year by far.
Yeah, nobody's done it yet.
Yep. Looking at what he's done this year, he's completed 60% of his passes for almost 1,100 yards, 16 touchdowns, but more importantly, no interceptions. He's got one lost fumble, and that's his only turnover of the year. He's got 633 yards on the ground, averaging 11.1 yards per carry, and he's got 10 touchdowns. So talking with Winthrop Monmouth coach Dave St. Hilaire, he said, you know, their biggest concern is they can't let Tarian beat them with his legs. They've got to contain Edge because he doesn't run the ball more than, you know, four or five times a game for the most part, but he's breaking 20, 30-yard runs.
Would Winthrop try to put a spy on Tarian?
I'd be hard-pressed to believe that they wouldn't.
Yeah.
The big thing that Winthrop Monmouth has going in their favor is they've got a lot of different guys defensively and offensively. They can move in. They've got some good depth. And if Winthrop Monmouth has, or if Oak Hill has had a problem this year, it's against bigger running backs who have been able to control the game. Earlier this year, Riley Robinson, bigger quarterback, you know, was in the 6'1", 6'2 build.
Sure.
He was 24 for 103 and two touchdowns. Alec Brown is going to be a guy to keep an eye on in this one. He's a big, bruising running back. They like to give him the ball on belly and dive plays. He had 13 carries for 77 yards and a touchdown earlier this year. And Lisbon was the big eye-opener. They had Noah Francis go for 30, 116, and 1. And he's, you know, probably 6'2", 260, you know. And they just gave it to him. And they were able to sustain drives and, more importantly, keep the ball away from Tarian.
Yeah. And in the other semifinal in the Campbell Conference Class D, it is probably going to be as close a game as you can imagine with Lisbon and Dirigo.
Those are two teams that have a great history against each other, obviously.
Sure.
You know, you like to give the slight edge to Dirigo in Dixfield, you know, Harlow Park on a Friday night, but you can never count out Lisbon. And Dick Minahan, you know, recently got his 200th career
exactly.
Victory. And they, you know, both teams have plenty of talent on their rosters. We talked a little bit about Riley Robinson for Dirigo, Gavin Arsenal, another player to keep an eye on. But for Lisbon, quarterback Tyler Halls has had a very good year. Had two touchdowns passing, two touchdowns rushing this past week. Henry Adams is another guy to keep an eye on. As we mentioned, Noah Francis, big running back. You know, whoever wins that game could very well go on to win the conference this year.
Sure.
I mean, it's that wide open.
Yeah. Let's look at the Little Ten Conference, the other Class D league, where we have three of the more traditional teams in the league still left, and then one team, Mount View, who's kind of a newcomer to this playoff experience. This is only the second year that Mount View has ever even made the playoffs, the first being in 2011, and last week they won their first ever playoff game when they beat Holton at home. So it was quite a thrill for the Mustangs, but then they have to regroup and head up to Monadnock, up to Lincoln, where they'll place Monadnock Academy. And it's a team that they beat in the regular season just a few weeks ago, 33-16. Monadnock got the higher seed just through the, you know, quirk of the Crabtree points. They had a slightly tougher schedule. I think their opponent's winning percentage had one more win than Mount View's winning percentage. So that means that the Mustangs get on the bus and go from Thorndike up to Lincoln. Should be a good game between a couple teams that really run the ball well. Mount View's Tyler Ripley has over 1,300 yards now. And was second in the LTC in rushing, and Scott Gibson from Monadnock. I think I like Mount View in this one to win again. This is the best team the Mustangs have ever put together, really a senior-laden, deep team.
I've got Mount View as well, Travis. You know, one of those not likely to be late for supper kind of games.
Yeah.
With a lot of running. You know, anything you're thinking of as far as an X factor for Mount View, or anything that really could tip the scales in their favor?
They certainly have a lot of depth in the skill positions, and that's probably been their thing all year. Like, if a team loads up to try to stop Ripley, they can go to fullback Jack Absom, Axum, or Darren Cook, or Gavin Simpson, or Devin Davis. They just have a lot of guys. Cole Hannon at quarterback can run the ball. They run the option probably as well as anybody in that league. And just a lot of different forces for the Mustangs. Defensively, they're led by senior Ethan Sewell and Barry, who has 109 tackles, which is incredible for an 8-game high school season. That doesn't count whatever he got last week against Holton. So just a strong team overall. The other game in the LTC is number 4 Orono, who's 5-4, going to number 1 MCI, the undefeated Huskies. Orono struggled, and by that I mean, you know, struggled in capital letters with MCI in the second game of the regular season. MCI went to Orono and won 67-0. Now, Orno had some injuries that they were fighting at that point, and do have some players back, but even so, I don't think that they'll, you know, be able to hang with MCI for very long in that game.
Yeah, you know, I feel like we say this, you know, this is the ninth week we've been doing this, and right. This is probably the ninth time I've said this. Can anybody hang with MCI in this conference? You know, so far it looks like it's been a resounding no, as they've kind of, you know, wiped the floor with everybody so far this year.
Yeah, Orno's best chance is to run the ball like they did last week in their playoff win over Dexter. Last week the Red Riots ran for 485 yards. If they can even, you know, get half of that, they'll keep the ball away from MCI's offense for a while and maybe steal one.
Yeah, you know, how successful can a team be, though, when your game plan is just not to go out there and win the game or go out what you do best? It's go out there and try to keep the ball away from your opponent.
Yeah, not very successful. It's going to be a tall task for Orno, I think, this weekend.
All right, that'll do it for us this week on Gridiron Gurus. Be sure to check out centralmaine.com for plenty of high school football content, as well as this weekend's state soccer championships.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week when we talk about regional finals.